Okay, let's begin our discussion of Bishul B'Shabbos. Bishul B'Shabbos, I mentioned the end of last week that there are six parts to our discussion. Hopefully we'll try to do it in less than 6 weeks. But six topics that we have to discuss for Bishul. The first three will be Bishul D'Araisa, the second three will be Bishul D'Rabbanan. So we really won't know L'Maisa what to do. We'll do L'Maisa all along, but really the final word will be really after we do everything. As every Melecha Shabbos is, it is finite. One has to know. It's not an infinite amount and to be something to be scared of. It's only that we have to know. We have to know Hilcha Shabbos, and we have to know specifically Bishul B'Shabbos, because it comes up. It's not one of those malachas that like Bidi Eved, oh, if you're in this situation. It's every week. It's every week before Shabbos what to do, and it's every week on Shabbos what to do. And we have to know, and as I said, you can't leave it to rely on who you're going to marry to know all these halachas. It has to be something that everybody knows, and we have to know at least to formulate the question, if there are questions that come up. We mentioned also last week, the answer isn't, okay, I'll just eat cold on Shabbos. Right? That's not the answer. The Rishonim already quote that's what the Tztukim believe. The Tztukim believe you can't have any fire in your house on Shabbos. So the Ramah says you have to have hot food on Shabbos. The Ramah quotes the Balamar and the Ran. You have to have hot food on Shabbos. So we just have to get through the details of what to do and how to do it. And in that way, have fulfill Oneg Shabbos in the proper halachic way. Okay, so the first topic that we're going to discuss that you have in front of you are basically rules and regulations. General rules of Bishul D'Araisa. General rules of Bishul D'Araisa. That'll be topic number one. So what's the definition of cooking? Definition of Bishul / Ofer. They're both the same malacha. Malacha number 11. Remember the first 11 are Sidur D'Pas, making bread. So sometimes it's Ofer, sometimes it's Bishul, but it's the same malacha D'Araisa. So you look at source number 4, the Shabbos kitchen, the Simcha Brunim Kohn says, it's using heat to alter the quality of an item. In short, using heat to alter the quality of an item. Rabbi Ribiat says, I mentioned last week, a significant change in the properties of a food or substance by the use of heat. By the use of heat. Again, it doesn't have to be food. We said melting metal could be Bishul on Shabbos, but that is the general definition. Again, sometimes Bishul hardens something, sometimes Bishul softens something. Depends on the item. Depends what the heat does to it. And that's what the Rambam points out in Hilcha Shabbos. It's source number 5, Perek Des Halacha Vav. Right, Klal Shel Davar, Bein Sheripa Guf Kasha Ba'esh, O Shehiksha Guf Rach, harden a soft substance, soften a hard substance, Hari Zachayev Mishum Mevasha. Okay, so let's get into the details. What is Bishul D'Araisa? Is split depending on what you're talking about. Step number one, solids versus liquids. Solids versus liquids. First, we will discuss solids. What is Bishul for solid? A piece of chicken. What's Bishul D'Araisa for a piece of chicken, for a piece of a steak, a potato? What is Bishul? So, this you probably have heard of. Edibility. The minimum is edibility. Making a food from non-edible to edible is the shear of Bishul. How much is that? What is that? So the Mishnah discusses in Shabbos and Daf Yutes regarding an Issa D'Rabbanan, which we'll have to get to the three Issuri D'Rabbanan of Bishul, right? Shehiya HaChzara HaTmana, we'll have to get to those. But that's the context of the Gemara, that it has to be somewhat cooked before Shabbos in order to be able to allow you to do something, which we don't know anything. But what does it mean, cooked before Shabbos? What does cooked mean? So that's what the Gemara says. V'kama Amar Blazam Arav Kadei Sheyitzolu Mibod Yom Kemachal Ben Jusai. Machal ben Jusoy. Ben Jusoy was some type of bandit. He was always eating on the run. He didn't have time to sit down and have a nice three-course meal, five-course meal. So he used to eat things when they were just edible. So, on Shabbos, I'm chayev d'oraisa for Bishul if I make something machal ben Jusoy. If I go from non-machal ben Jusoy to machal ben Jusoy. If I put a piece of steak in the oven, and it's in the oven for 5 minutes, and then I take it out and it's basically still raw, I didn't do anything. I didn't do an Issa D'Araisa because it did not become Ma'achol Ben Jusai. Even if I made it, I left it in there for half an hour. Again, it could be an Issa D'Rabbanan to put something in a place where it could get to cooked. But let's say on a D'Araisa level, if I cook something, but I don't really, it's in there, doesn't really get edible at all, so then it is not Bishul D'Araisa. How much is Ma'achol Ben Jusai? That's a well-known machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi says a third cooked. The Rambam says half cooked. Rashi on that Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yutes. Umavashel bishulo shlish, and the Rambam says nispashel kulo chatzi bishul chayev. Machlokes a third or a half, or machmor lechatchila for even a third, like Rashi. How do you calculate this? How do you calculate a third or a half? Like, when is it half? Half fully cooked. So the Chazon Ish says in source number 9, the Chazon Ish says you go by time. You go by time, right? If it takes 2 hours to cook, then a third cook is 40 minutes. That's how you figure it out. Even though it's a chiddush, even though sometimes things get much quicker. The second half of the cooking, the first half is raw, it's thawing out. But that's what the Chazon Ish says. It's calculated by time. That is the minimum shear l'chayev for solid foods on Shabbos. If I make something non-edible to edible, which is Machlo Ben Josai, I'm going to be chayev. What about the maximum? Is there a maximum? Meaning, once something is Machlo Ben Josai, and I cook it more, am I in the world of Bishul D'Oraisa, or am I in the world of Bishul D'Rabbanan? Going from Machlo Ben Josai to better, to fully cooked. So that's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba. That's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba, going from Machlo Ben Josai to fully cooked. That is the machlokas. The Mishnah talks about, on Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Hei, that's the Mishnah, which we're going to talk about. That's the third topic that we'll talk about in terms of bishul achar bishul achar afia, afia achar bishul, re-cooking things. That's topic number 3 that we'll talk about, but that's what the Mishnah says. Fundamentally, once something's cooked, it's cooked. Kol sheba b'chavan me'erev Shabbos, shoron oso b'chavan b'Shabbos. Once it's cooked before Shabbos, there's no longer bishul de'oraisa on Shabbos. Fine. So what does it mean, cooked before Shabbos? So that's where the Rashba says, the Rashba on Daf Yud Ches, where this Mishnah is quoted, it says, V'od yesh li lomar, dekol debashel kamacho ben drusoy, leka misha megis. Megis we'll get to, that means stirring. To ha megis misha mevashel odu machayev, v'kivin shegil macho ben drusoy, su leka mishum mevashel. The Rashba holds that macho ben drusoy is both the minimum and the maximum of bishul d'oraisa of solids on Shabbos. If you make it to macho ben drusoy, that's bishul d'oraisa. But that's it. Can't do more than that in the world of Bishul D'Oraisa. Again, we're not comparing. There are many areas of Bishul in Halacha, and this is specifically for Hilchos Shabbos. There's concepts of Bishul in Bishul Akum. There's concepts of Bishul in Yaredeya. And generally, Tarovis. There's concepts of Bishul in Hilchos Shabbos. So each of these are the concepts of Bishul for Karban Pesach. Right? It can't be Mavushal. It has to be Tzli. So every year of halacha has their own definition. This is for Hilchos Shabbos, at least. The Rashba says that's the minimum and the maximum. But the Rambam is machmir. The Rambam says all the way until fully cooked is bishul d'oraisa. That's a crucial point, and we are machmir lechatchila, at least. The Rambam says in source number 15, Perek Tes, Hamavashal alaor davar shahayim mevushal called sarcho. If you cook something with Vushal called Sarcho, so then there's no Bishul D'Oraisa. Meaning anything less than that is going to be Bishul D'Oraisa for the Rambam. And again, we're Noheg Lechumrah to be careful. The Shulchan Aruch seems to hold like the Rambam. I didn't bring these are the Maror Makomos separate from the Mishnah Berurah. So, but Shin Yuch, I'll bring one next time. I'll bring one. I'll remind you to bring one also. But anyway, this is the machlokas between the Rashba and the Rambam relating to bishul d'oraisa by solids. Fine. What about by liquids? Liquids, we have to have a different definition because you can drink cold water. It can't go by edibility. You can't go by machlo ben drusoy. It's edible when it's quote unquote raw. Yes, some foods are also edible raw. That's true. Cooking an apple and cooking, other things that you could eat raw, a carrot. But still, liquid is for sure. There's no need, therefore, for a real significant change in the water or something that I heat up, something that I apply heat to for liquids. So the definition for bishul by liquids is heat temperature, which we know is Yad Soledes Bo. Yad Soledes Bo, if literally my hand jumps back, my hand recoils from the heat, that is Bishul D'Oraisa. When I make it, if I heat up water less than Yad Soledes Bo, that's not Bishul D'Oraisa. Yad Soledes Bo, then it is Bishul D'Oraisa. That's the cutoff point. If I melt ice in room temperature, that's not Bishul, even though it's getting warmer, right? I'm removing, are you allowed to do that? Is there a problem with causing things to melt? That's a different malacha that we're not going to get into now. But that's Yasol Adespo, that's the definition. Why is this the shear? Why is Yasol Adespo the shear? So there is a lumdus. If you look in the Gemara in Chulin on Daf Kufhei, the Gemara in Chulin says, one should not use Yad Soledespo water for Mayim Achronim. So why not? Because you could burn yourself. Okay, that's number one, practically. But there's a fascinating Rashi there. Rashi says, Im Yad Soledespo hen butlu vinishtanu mitoras mayim. There's a different status of boiling water. It's no longer mayim. It's no longer, it's chamin. Right, it's a different status in halacha. So that's lamdis, Yad Soledes Bo. It gets hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. Boom, you get to Yad Soledes Bo. And that, therefore, is, that's a change of the item. What is Yad Soledes Bo? So I gave you a couple, or Vibia quotes a couple of different temperatures of different liquids. Lukewarm bath water, average bath water, hot bath water, hot tap water, cup of coffee. Right, Lamaisa, there's different shitas about how hot is Yad Soledes Bo, Rav Moshe, Rav Aaron Kotler. Lamaisa, we don't play around and we don't measure. So they give different temperatures in Fahrenheit. Rav Moshe is 110 Fahrenheit. Others are more, 120. But, you know, we don't test it out misafik. We're machmir that anything getting close to boiling is not acceptable. And that is why you can't use the tap. Hot tap water on Shabbos, right? What am I doing? What am I cooking? What am I cooking? Because when I put on the hot water in my house, so whether, you know, in Chutz Laaretz, you know, hot water tanks are more common, in Eretz Yisrael, it's more of the, you know, the Dut Shemesh. Either way, you're getting hot water from somewhere, but then cold water is going to go into where the hot water used to be, and that hot cold water is now going to be cooked to Yad Soledes Bo. So I am indirectly doing Bishul D'Oraisa by taking hot water. Okay, if you live in an apartment building with a lot of non-Jews, okay, Shaila. But that's the reason of why one can't use a hot faucet. And you know, Sadr Rav Ribia points out, I think I gave it to you, he points out a common error. Sometimes people think, again, if you close the hot water tap, the hot water thing on the tank, and no, you know, so then that's, you know, the fire is not going to be on, so then it's okay. No, the tank is still boiling hot, so when cold water goes in there, even if the fire is off, it's still cooking it in the tank, which we'll have to get to, Be'ez Hashem, in the second topic when we talk about different sources of heat, Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, all of those. But one has to be very careful. But that's the definition of cooking liquid, D'Oraisa, making it into Yad Soledes Bo. There is, just like we had, yeah? What? What's lo nichalei? You're very happy with that.
We don't care if the cold water goes into the hot water there.
You don't care? What do you mean? You'll use that in an hour from now.
But I'm not using that water. I'm going to use the rest of the hot water. I'm not using the entire tank.
I'm saying if you close the tap, if you have it in a way that you could block it off, that no cold water goes in. If you have some type of way to do that, then that's okay. But it can't just be turning off the fire.
Why do we care if cold water goes into the hot water?
Because that's cooking the cold water.
But I don't care if it's.
What do you mean you don't care? Why don't you care? First of all, Psik Reshit Lo Nichalei is probably still Asa D'Rabbanan. But even if, what do you mean? You're very happy with it. You're very happy. It's like, I'm going to leave the fridge, the light on, but I'm not really, I don't care about the fridge light on. Yes, you do. You're very happy with it on. You can live without it, but if you're going to use the water, you can use the water. Just like there is a machlokes by solids going from edible, machlo ben drusoy, to mevusha chol tzarcho, there is a discussion here. What about Yad Soledes Bo to boiling, like bubbling? Yad Soledes Bo is not bubbling, right? When something is boiling on the, let's say you're making right? You have a hot water urn. So when it boils, it's bubbling out. But then when it goes off, 5 seconds later, it's not bubbling anymore. But it's still Yasso Ledesbo. So is there a malacha going from Yasso Ledesbo to Yad to boiling? So that's a discussion in the postgame. If you look in the Otzros HaShabbos, source 24, again, there's a number of contemporary discussions, halachic svarim, as you know, in Hilchos Shabbos, there's Otzros HaShabbos and Archos Shabbos and many others. So he quotes the machlokas there, l'artiach mayim sh'nischam u'kshir yatzo ledesbo, to go from yatzo ledes to boiling. Minchas Yitzchak, adayin in v'shalom kol tzorcham, osur l'artiacham, achi alav abuos, v'chein da'as rebel yashif. Ubikris Moshe says, mutter, l'artiach dover lachshin is bashal, k'dei yatzo ledes, kivishach shabishal. Again, where might this come up? Boil, if you're doing this bubbling and Yasso Ledesbo, we're going to talk about, Hashem, a little bit later, adding hot water from the urn to the challenge. When the challenge's drying out, you're allowed to do that, how you're allowed to do that, going from one boiling to another boiling. So let's say one of them is bubbling, and one of them is just Yasso Ledesbo. Are they in the same category? Is there any issue? So it's an important issue to be aware of. Rishlomo Zalman is mesupik about it, he quotes, but either way, this is going from Yad Soledesbo to higher. So this is point number one, the definition of bishul by solids, the definition of bishul by liquids. Point number two, the definition of cooking is not only going from 0 to 100. Even if something is going to get cooked anyway, but I hasten the cooking, that is also bishul d'oraisa. If I make the bishul happen faster, that is also an example of bishul d'oraisa. So let's say I have something that is not fully cooked on, in the olden days they used to have a blech. Anybody here still have a blech? Like that metal thing over the fires? Very uncommon. Most people use hot plates now, platas. So let's say on the plata, let's say you have a hot spot on the plata. Some platas have like a circle. That's the hot spot. So let's say you have something that's not fully cooked yet, and you're going to move it to the hot spot, right? Or let's say Ashkenazim, we'll see, we're machmer by liquids. Let's say you have a liquid and you're going to move it closer, so it's going to get cooked. So that's kirev bishula. That's a problem. That's a form of bishul. If I'm going to make something get cooked faster than it would have gotten cooked, it would have gotten cooked in an hour, and I'm creating a situation where I'm going to move it closer, so that is a problem. What if I make the fire bigger? If I make a fire bigger, so I'm not only violating the Isser of making a fire on Shabbos, I'm also going to violate the Isser of cooking on Shabbos. Because, you know, making the fire bigger is Isser. Where does this come up? Hopefully we're not... So it comes up if somebody doesn't realize by moving something closer to the hotspot on the blech. But the Rebbe Kiva Eger, I'm sorry, it's a little small. The first Rebbe Kiva Eger in Hilchos Shabbos, Shin Yud Ches is a siman in the Shulchan Aruch about Bishul. He talks about Kirev Bishulo, Mevashal B'Shabbos, Imhaya Karov Ala Eish, Shloya Royla Mevushal Ad Shah, right? And now you move it closer. So he quotes, starts our discussion of kirev bishulo. You move the pot closer, it's a problem. Where does this come up? Three or four examples where this comes up, where kirev bishulo might come up. What happens? The Shmir Shabbos discusses. Yeah, I'm sorry, did I turn too quicker? The Shmir Shabbos discusses. I'm going backwards here. Where's the Shmir Shabbos? Source 27. I said the Shmir Shabbos. Vida. What happens if, I don't know, you're running late, you filled up your hot water urn right before Shabbos. Right before Shabbos, you filled up your hot water urn. So when Shabbos started, it wasn't boiling yet. So it's going to boil on Shabbos. Says the Shmir Shabbos, if I remove some water from that urn before it is boiling, I reduce the volume of that urn, the rest of the water is now going to cook quicker because it's less in there. So the Shmir Shabbos says, better to fill up the urn earlier on Friday so you don't run into these problems. Generally, it doesn't come up because like nobody's touching the urn generally, like when you're in shul, like who's touching the urn then anyway? you put it up before Shabbos and you go to shul, and unless, let's say the wife is still in the kitchen doing stuff during that time, but that could be an issue. Says the Shmir Shabbos, if I filled it up and it's not Yatzo Ledispo, Asir Lahoz Meno Mayim, Gam Derech Beres Me'adud, Kivish Aidei Kein, Ugorim Shamayim Anusarim, the water that's left in the Dud, Yagil Yatzo Ledispo, Yosir Maher, Varekim Mekarev Hamayim La'ish. That's an example of Kirev Bishulo. Kirev Bishulo. Other poskim aren't so sure that that's a problem. Right, the Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, thinks maybe that's just removing Hasaras Hamoneya. That's not moving a pot closer. That's kind of just removing a hindrance so it's going to cook faster. But that's too indirect. Okay, either way, it's something to be aware of. First example of Kirev Bishulo. The second one's going to be very Lamaisa. Yeah. What do you mean? Putting it in right before Shabbos? So that's going to get, that's, I'm going to hold off on that now. That's going to get into Bishul Derabanan topics, the last three topics that we'll do, which is what you're allowed to do before Shabbos. On a Daraisa level, you can do whatever you want before Shabbos. It's impossible. That's the Yesod, the Rishonim say. It's impossible to violate an Isser Malacha on Shabbos, Daraisa, without acting on Shabbos. You cannot violate a malacha de oraisa passively on Shabbos. Anything you do before Shabbos, we're going to learn all about how you put the stuff on the blah, how you put the stuff on the hot plate, all this, that's all within the world of Bishul Derabanan. We paskin like Beis Hillel, your kalim do not have to rest on Shabbos, and therefore, whatever you want to do before Shabbos is fine, it's impossible. You can't violate a malacha de oraisa, one of the malachas of Shabbos, passively on Shabbos. Okay, so number one, example of kirev bishulo, reducing the uncooked volume. Number two, magus. What was mentioned before, stirring. Stirring. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Beitza, on Daf Lamed Daled, and it's quoted, as we know, stirring is part of the cooking process. Let's say I stir something. Why? What do I do when I stir? There are parts of the, let's say, the chalent. Let's say you stir the chalent before Shabbos. Maybe parts of it is not fully cooked. When I stir it, I move parts that are further away from the fire to closer to the fire, closer to the fire. Move. It moves it all around. Stirring is part of the cooking process. So if I stir something on Shabbos that is not fully cooked, and now I'm moving things, I'm making it cook better. It's cooking within itself. That's a big problem. To stir something on Shabbos that is not fully cooked, that's a malacha d'oraisa of Bishul. Because I'm being mekarev bishulo. Mekarev bishulo, bringing it closer. Even if it's shelo al gabe ha'esh. Right, we'll get to this more when we talk about kli rishon and kli sheni. I doubt we'll get to it today. Maybe we'll start a little bit. But let's say we're going to learn, you know, when we want to take chalant out on a Friday night, have that Friday night chalant, right? So we're going to learn about how to take the crock pot out and then put it back in and keep your hand on it and have a mind to put it back. We're going to learn all about all these details. But all of that is only if the chalant is fully cooked already. All of that is only mutter. If the chalent is fully cooked, then you get into the how you do it midrabanan. Have in mind you're going to put it back and keep your hand on it and the crock pot is lined on the inside, all the different details. If the chalent is not fully cooked, then I'm not allowed to touch it. Because if it's not fully cooked, and then I take it off the fire, and I'm like, but if I stir it, the barley that's not cooked yet, as I stir it, is going to cook in the other part of the hot barley. So one has to be very careful. If you put your chalent up right before Shabbos, so then one is not allowed to take it Friday night. Because that even if you just take from the top, stuff is going to fall in. Magus, stirring, spooning it out on Shabbos, that's Bishul D'oraisa. That's not Bishul D'rabanan. That's Bishul D'oraisa. One has to be very very careful. Once it's Mevushal Kol Tzarcho, remember we saw the Rambam? Mevushal Kol Tzarcho, that's the maximum for Bishul D'oraisa. Going from Mevushal Kol Tzarcho to it's even better if it cooks more, right? That's called Mitztamek V'yafelo. Right, let's say the chalent is fully cooked Friday night, but after 8 hours overnight, it's even better. It's even better. It's really a machlokas. Some people like Friday night chalent better. Some people like the Shabbos day chalent better. Some people even like Thursday night chalent even better than that. So there's Monday night, you got to really be hardcore. Monday, Tuesday nights, you know, chalent, that's a little, got to really be a, you know, hardcore chalent guy. for that. But either way, going from mevushal kol tzarcho, fully cooked, to even better, misamik v'yafalo, that's for sure not daraisa. That's for sure not. Even the Rambam that we saw before only holds this daraisa once it's fully cooked. So once it's fully cooked, my stirring it, you're right, it can make it better, but that's okay. That's okay. But that's Shulchan Aruch. So according to this, though, according to this so far, kiri bishulo is only when something is not fully cooked. Yes, Ephraim.
How do you define, you just mentioned this a little bit, what's fully cooked with regard to chum?
So what's fully cooked? If there are no hard pieces, there's no hard pieces. An average person would say, okay, it's cooked. It's not, there are no hard pieces. It's not raw. It's not, it's more, much more than edible. It's ready. The chum is ready. You'd serve it. Okay, you're right. It'll be better tomorrow, but it's ready and you'd serve it as is. Yeah.
If the food were fully cooked, you would be able to stir even while it's on fire?
No, that's the next step. Okay, that's the next step right now. So now we get to the chumrah. It's known as the chumrah of the kolbo. The chumrah of the kolbo. Again, one of the lesser known Rishonim, but it's quoted in the Beis Yosef. And he has a chumrah. The chumrah of the kolbo, this is an it's getting into the world of Bishul Darabanan, but we have to do it here because it's talking about Magus. The kolbo says that it's usher to stir even a fully cooked pot when it's on the fire. That's the chumrah of the kolbo, and we are machmer for this kolbo. Even if it's mevushal kol tzarcho, if it's al gabei ha'esh, we don't stir it. And that's why, let's say you want to stir the chalent, even if you are not going to take any out, we first take it off the fire, and then stir it, and then put it back on. That's the chumrah of the kolbo. What's the svara for this? What's the svara for this? Is it ready on the fires? That's a good question. Whatever the svara is, that's what we paskin. So some say maybe there are some tiny small pieces that aren't fully cooked, and we're more machmer when it's on the fire still. Maybe this is still, some say in lumdis, it's part of the cooking process, and you shouldn't do any of the cooking process on Shabbos if it's still on the fire. If it's off the fire, that's not normal cooking. So either way, it's a question about exactly what the svara is for the kolbo, but we generally are machmer for this kolbo, and therefore we do not stir anything. Lechadchila, we don't stir anything while it's on the fire, because of this extension of Magus. Magus, again, not Mevushal Kol Tzarcho, that's Bishul D'Oraisa. If it is Mevushal Kol Tzarcho, then it's just the Chumrah of Magus. What if it's impossible? One second. What if it's impossible? Let's say, you don't really have this so commonly now, but in the days of old, it used to be a one-piece crock pot. Ever see one of those? There's no insert to take out. It's on the fire, and then you, like, pour it out. You, like, use a ladle to pour it out. So, you don't have a choice. So Rav Moshe discusses I gave you all of these, so we're not going to do everything just to try to cover ground. I gave you big discussions of the kolbo here in 32, 33, 34. Rav Moshe in 35, 36, Rav Moshe discusses if the pot is very heavy. What is a very heavy pot? Or what if you're working camp? And you have these huge pots. Can't take it off. You have to try to get somebody else. I remember we had this silent camp one time. Somebody wanted, it was a big one of these things that covered all four burners. They wanted to serve the challen, and I was walking by, Baruch Hashem. So there was a bad, I'm like, no, wait! It's a pain, but you gotta do it. So you gotta take two people, take it off, it's very heavy, take it off, have them stand there, holding onto the handles, whatever, and then you'll put it back. But let's say it's impossible, or Moshe talks about if it's a very heavy pot. Right, if it's on the fire, this is a drabana, feel hozi bakaf. Right, if you can, that's a kolbo. Right, you see what Moshe says? If you can, that's a kolbo. She also daraisa, afshalo move on a dover. We don't really understand the kolbo. He seems to say it's a chash bishul daraisa. But either way, Moshe says you have to be machmer. There's no choice. The Chazon Ish says maybe because the whole thing is a chumra that we don't fully understand. If it's impossible, so then it's okay. Efshar lahakel in this regard. But this is the chumra of the kolbo. Yeah. Okay. Questions. Okay, that's the next piece. Okay, next, thank you for leading it in. What about, let me just answer that because he just asked that. There is an extension of this extension. Right, so the kolbo, the magus, is that itself is an extension. You can't stir anything while it's on the fire. So what about remember growing up, there was somebody that I knew that liked to get Cholent facials. Have you heard of such a thing? Cholent facial. They weren't going to take Cholent Friday night, but almost as good, but without the calories, right? You take the cover off the Cholent pot, you put your face over the Cholent, a Cholent facial, and then put the cover back on. Okay, so you can hear, it's a certain level of hana. You know, maybe it was a Sarba Teves, it was Friday, and you wanted a, maybe Erev Shabbos, Tomech Chaim Zachu, that's the closest you could get. But anyway, so is there any issue? So, let's think about this. Putting a cover on a pot raises the temperature. So let's say in the pot, let's say there's uncooked food in the pot. It's not mavushik al tzarcho, then for sure you cannot put the cover on. If a pot is not mavushal kol tzarcho, then you cannot put the cover on because that is raising the temperature. And that's hastening, that's kirev bishulo. But what about regarding the chumra of the kolba? The chumra of the kolba, that yet you're not supposed to stir it while it's on the fire. What about putting the cover on when it's on the fire? So, lechatchila, the Shmir Shabbos quotes it, lechatchila, that in source 42, also lachasoso mixo b'slachar b'chol davar acher afilu im meisr l'kdira min ha'esh also lachasoso kibon she makizik dira ugram l'espashol yosi l'espashol. If it is not mevushal kol tzarcho, if it is mevushal kol tzarcho, it's a chumra. So lachadchila. So what do you mean lachadchila? That means, let's say you want to take the cover, you want to take the cholent out Friday night. Let's say so you take it out with all the details which we haven't gotten into yet. It's fully cooked. You take some cholent out, put the cover back on. And then put the cholent back in. Right? If you put the cholent back in, so then putting the cover on is an extension of the chumrah of that kolba, because it's, you're not stirring on the fire, but you're being a karev yishul. You're doing something like stirring on the fire. So if not, it's okay, because that's already a chumrah, gabi chumrah. But again, that's an extension of the Shmir Shabbos, which he quotes, Tov Lahachmir, in the footnotes, V'esh Lasim Lev, Shemichzi Ye Yavesh. If it's mavushal kol tzarcho, but again, that is the an extension of the chomer of Shlomo Zalman. And other sources say here, source 44, he says maybe it's an extension. You don't have to be machmer like that. Kulam yodim shekizek kadir b'mara bishav lo yovel latos. Maybe stirring, you know, people don't think of it as such as an act of cooking. So maybe that's why the chumrah was by hagasa, but by putting the cover on, he doesn't think is a problem, and therefore one wouldn't have to be machmir so much. But again, this is where the extension comes from. Yeah.
Would that also apply to why people don't stir food from off the fire? Is there a question for stirring?
Correct. Yeah. Why people don't serve? One should. Yeah. That's like stirring, for sure. Food should not be served from off the fire. Soup. Let's say somebody has soup. So you have to try to get the conditions for being able to put it back for achzara, but 100% not taking things off straight off the fire. You know, it's much easier to take it straight off the fire, but you know, because of this chumra of the kolba, which has been accepted for whatever reason, because of the gzeira, you'll get confused. That's what we do. Yeah. You have to know when you put it on. You have to know. It's onik Shabbos to enjoy your cholent also. You have to know when you put it up. If you put it up and reasonably hours ago, then you could assume. I guess 1 week we'll test it out, right? 1 week we'll test it out, then one will know. Okay. We also have mentioned that non-foods are also subject to bishul. Right? The Rambam quoted it by metal. The Shulchan Aruch discusses. Wet clothes. If you remember what winter is like. Right. Let's say it was snowing out, it was pouring out, and it could rain here, by the Shem. But sometimes you used to come in and you have wet gloves or wet socks. So you want to get them dry. So you put it on the radiator. Let's say there's a heating element. That's not good. Right? That's cooking the water in the gloves or in the socks. Letting it just evaporate at room temperature, that's fine. But putting it in a place where, you know, it's going to, next to a heat source, which we'll talk about heat sources next time, that is a problem because that is also subject to bishul. If one has a wet towel to put on top of an urn, which would dry the towel a little bit, you know, all of these, you know, one cannot put anything in a situation that would cause bishul. What else can we talk about? Just running it. Just again, just trying to get the most common cases. If you started Bishul, there's a big discussion in the Achronim about this, the Menachas Chinuch, the Rishash, but we assume Lamaisa, if you started the Bishul process, you could stop the Bishul process before it happens. Right? If you put something in a situation where it could get cooked, quickly take it off. One is not allowed, Midrabanan, to put something into a situation where eventually it will get cooked, planning to take it off before it reaches that level. Which makes a lot of sense that one shouldn't do that, but either way, these are the some rules and regulations about Bishul D'oraisa. Next time we'll talk about different sources of heat, but there is a crucial prima gaddim to be aware of. And I'll mention this prima gaddim more than once. The Bir Halacha, the beginning of Shin Yoches, quotes the prima gaddim, who says that if there's anyone out there, authoritative posek, that says something is allowed, then you're allowed to eat the food. You know, sometimes one will go back to somebody's house and they'll say, I'm not sure if they know all the halachas, this and the details. If there is a authoritative posek, again, means authoritative posek, doesn't mean do whatever you want, but b'di'eved, the food can be eaten, there's no Isra Maisa Shabbos if there is a posek that allows it, even if I wouldn't rely on it l'chadchila. Yeah. Yeah.
And then it might have a little bit of water in it. Can you use that to like maybe pick out the
challen? A hand towel? I don't think a wet towel holding the challen for a second is going to cook the water inside. You know, I think that's if that's the only towel you have, it's okay. Yeah.
For the prima gaddim, who would be considered a person?
I don't know. That's I'm being recorded now also, but again, anybody quoted in any of these, I would say, in the Kitzur Hilchos Shabbos books. If it's somebody who's just Rabbi Google, you know, I don't think that would be able to rely on. But again, you know, authoritative, somebody who follows the Masorah, somebody who follows the tradition and is based on all the Shas and Poskim, you know, that would be okay. Yeah.
Is the case with the first example for hastening the process, is the case of removing water from the urn that hasn't really heated up the water, is that similar to pushing for the Shabbos clock and the timer?
We're going to the pushing for the Shabbos clock is grumma. It's something, but that's different. You're allowed to extend the status quo. You're not allowed to make something happen earlier.
I'm saying, based on that, would you
but it could be no. Yeah, I guess it's a similar idea.
Could you be able to add water if it's not yet hot?
Could you add water if it's not yet hot? No, because you're going to be cooking that new water. Okay, this is part one. Part two, by the way, next week we get into sources of heat. Age, Tolas age, Kli Rishon, Iru Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, Kli Shlishi, and all that fun, all those fun topics. Okay, and if we have time, we'll even start the Bishul Acha Bishul issues.